We'll commence our service of thanksgiving for the life of Mrs. Margaret Waddell by singing the Shepherd's Psalm, the first piece on your order of service. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. Psalm 23, and we'll ask you to stand, please, as we sing this psalm. Today to share in this special meeting service, the Reverend Colin Mercer, Derek's minister up there in Auchnacloy. We're delighted he was able to come, and Mr. Mercer's going to lead us in prayer and then read the Word of God. Thank you.
Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Our gracious God and our eternal Heavenly Father, we draw nigh to thee this afternoon in our Saviour's precious name, in that name that is above every name, and at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We thank thee today for the one who is the resurrection and the life, who has said during his earthly ministry, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And our Father, we draw nigh to thee in this service this afternoon, in our Saviour's name, acknowledging that thou art God, and beside thee there is none else, that thou art sovereign in life as well as in death. Yes. Thou art the one who gives, and thou art the one who takes away. And we say with Job, blessed be the name of the Lord. We think of that Old Testament saint in the hour of great grief in his life, when he recognized the majesty and the authority and the graciousness and the glory of his heavenly Father. And in the midst of his deepest grief, he bowed his head and worshipped thee. And Lord, we gather into this service today to worship thee, to come to commit this sorrowing family unto thee and to remember them in prayer, to pray, Lord, that I would be gracious to them, to Derek and to Carol and to Ruth, to Priscilla and Lester, Bethany and Hannah too. Lord, we pray that thou wilt encircle them in the arms of thy love, encourage their hearts. We thank thee for their mother. We thank thee for her godliness. We thank thee, Lord, for that day when you saved her by your grace. We thank thee for her that's absent from the body and present with the Lord. And we pray, Lord, today for the family that remain, that thou would encourage them. We've been singing, Lord, of thee as our shepherd, and we thank thee for the one who is the shepherd of his people, the one who ministers and cares for us. We think of Peter when he reminded the Christians of his day that they could cast all their care upon thee with the full knowledge that you cared for them. And Lord, we pray today that this family circle might know something of thy grace and mercy, thy care, thy love. Lord, we thank thee for grace already given to them in so many ways. And we ask, Lord, today that thou would come alongside them afresh and bless them in this service, minister to them through thy word. And Lord, even the singing of these hymns, we pray, Lord, they might know their hearts strengthened. We think of the psalmist when he said the Lord was his refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. May they know that today in a very personal, powerful way. The Lord drawing near to them and remembering them for good. We thank our Father today of this entire congregation. And once again, we are reminded that life at best is very brief. We are reminded, Lord, that we live in this world for a short time, but is appointed unto men once to die. And Lord, we pray as we gather here and think upon matters eternal, matters that are spiritual, matters that relate to our soul and our soul's eternal destination, that Lord, thou would speak to all of our hearts. We think of Moses, the man of God, praying that thou would teach us to number our days, that we would apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, we pray that every one of us, young or old, in this service would number our days and apply to Christ for salvation, for none can save us. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we know today there's no other way we can ever be with thee in glory when we come to die except through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, speak to all who are gathered in. Make us, Lord, to be conscious of these eternal realities. We pray that none would go on without the Savior and come to a lost eternity. That, Lord, each one would come to faith in Jesus Christ. We thank thee for this time we can meet around the word. Bless thy servant who will minister in the gospel, Lord. Fill him with thy spirit. And we pray that the word preached will be a blessing to all who have gathered in, and to the family circle especially. That, Lord, today you will remember them and be with them and bless them richly. Bless thy word now as we turn to read it together. Minister to our hearts even through the reading of Scripture. We ask this today in our Savior's precious name and for his eternal glory. Amen. We're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 to read some verses at the commencement of this chapter. Let us hear the word of the Lord. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, he also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, that we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Amen. We'll finish at verse 15 of that chapter, praying the Lord's blessing upon the public reading of his own precious, inspired and infallible word for Jesus' sake.
Thank you very much. Could I just, at this stage, could I welcome each one to this special Thanksgiving service? I'm sure it's a great encouragement to the family to see so many gathered in on what for them particularly is a very sad occasion. I'd like to take the opportunity personally to offer our own sympathy to the family circle. I had known Mrs. Waddell for a very long time, just a matter of perhaps a month, if that, and did visit with her quite a number of times. And as I said to the men before the service, I never heard a word of complaint from her out of her situation that she was in. But she did speak very freely and lovingly of the Saviour when we talked about those spiritual matters that are really important. And to the family, I just want to say, we're thinking about you and we're praying for you that the Lord's hand and his grace will be your portion. The family have asked me to read out a list of thanks that they want to publicly state. On behalf of the Waddell family, Derek, Carol and Ruth, we'd like to express our heartfelt thanks to, they name me, and then the Reverend James Porter, Colin Mercer and the Reverend Robert Crane for their pastoral care and visitation to Mum while she was ill, and the support and care to us after. Thanks also to the doctors, nurses and staff in Craigavon Area Hospital for their dedicated medical care for Mum while she was a patient there for a month recently. The district nurses from Kide, whom attended Mum so compassionately at home. And for all the help and support during Mum's brief illness, the many friends and relations who came to the hospital or phoned to ask about her, for all who helped out at her wake and called at the home. To Mum's special friend, Pamela, whom after only meeting in the hospital ward, one night showed great love by sending a bouquet of flowers to the home and putting a smile on Mother's face in the midst of great sorrow. Thank you. K.G. Cheevers and Son for their professionalism and care at this time, and also those folk who were the grave diggers on Judy. Mrs. Betty Spratt for playing the organ today, and Mrs. Iris Hill for playing the piano. It says if she's there, and I think she is, so we're grateful also there. Mrs. Carolyn Niblock and the staff for the refreshments after the funeral service. And just when I'm on that subject, the family, of course, would like to thank you all for coming and want you to join them in the refreshments in the church hall after the service. So you're all welcome for that. There's also a family request that all mourners and all who are here, would you please ensure that you sign the book of condolence before you leave today. That would be a family request, and they're very anxious that that will be done. So please bear that in mind. Reverend James Porter, of course, has known Mrs. Waddell for a long time. He was the minister here in the church for a number of years and kindly consented to come to speak, to preach the sermon at the funeral. We're delighted that he's with us. We're glad he was able to come. I'm going to call upon him now, please, to bring the word of God. Thank you.
Can I just first of all say a special thank you to the Waddell family for asking me just to share in this service of thanksgiving for their mother, Margaret. It is indeed a great privilege and a great honour to be asked just to take part today. Also on behalf of my wife, Helen, and my family, myself, I'd like to express our sincere Christian sympathy to the family, to Derek and his wife Priscilla, to Carol, to Ruth and husband Leslie, and to the grandchildren Hannah and Bethany, and to all the wider family circle. I'd like to assure you all of our prayers that you will know much of God's grace and strength today and in the days ahead. Indeed, to lose your mother is a great loss, and I certainly pray that, and I know many are, that the vacant chair in the home will be filled with the presence of the Lord, and that you as a family will know much of God's comfort at this particular time. It's wonderful to know that in the book of Isaiah, chapter 66 and the verse number 13, the Lord there gives you a wonderful promise for an occasion like this. And this is what the Lord says in this tremendous verse. He says, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you." And we pray that you will know that comfort that comes from the Lord and that wonderful promise to comfort you as a mother would comfort her children. Now, I had the privilege of meeting Margaret some 13 years ago for the first time, and she always made me very welcome in her home, and I enjoyed many happy and blessed times of fellowship with her and with her late husband Don and with the family. And she always showed a tremendous kindness and hospitality, and was always a warm welcome in the home. Now, over the years, Margaret had many health problems. These were things you had to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And I was deeply saddened to hear of her diagnosis just before the Christmas at the end of last year. Now, Margaret's loss will be deeply felt by her family, most, and indeed by all who knew and loved her. But the most important thing that I want to say this afternoon is that she was a woman who was saved by the grace of God, and she was ready to leave this world. I visited with her in the hospital in Craigavon before Christmas, and she spoke about that, about being saved and about ready to leave this world. There was a time in her life when she realized her need as a sinner before Almighty God, and with that realization, she put her faith and she put her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Her trust was in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of all of her sins. And the Lord's great promise to all who trust Him as Savior is in John 10, verse 28, "I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And on Tuesday morning past, Margaret went home to heaven, as the Bible declares and rightly declares, to be with Christ, which is far better. And there she is also reunited with other loved ones who have also gone on before. Now, the family have asked me this afternoon to read out a tribute on their behalf to their mother, and I will read that tribute as it is here, as it has been given to me And it's simply titled A Tribute to Mum's Life, Margaret Elizabeth Waddell. There's two really headings. There's her love for the Lord and her love for the family. First of all, her love for the Lord. And it says one of her earliest childhood memories of Mum is of her sitting at the fireside reading her Bible. We also witnessed her love of prayer by her regular attendance at the midweek Bible study, prayer meeting. The children herself and Granny taught us to pray before we went to sleep. She asked Jesus into her heart and was born again at a mission in 1959. And her steadfast faith in her Lord and Savior never left her all her life. Her love for her family. Mum was born on the 22nd of January 1941 to parents John and Elsie Willis and was called Margaret Elizabeth Willis. The family lived at Tannockmore Road, Market Hill. She was born during a big snowfall and Dr. Marshall had to get a neighbour to help him up the field to reach the house. Her only brother Billy was born on the 3rd of August 1943. Her dad, John, died in 1963 when Mum was only 22 years old. She attended school, Market Hill Primary and Bessbrook Tech. Then she took up employment in Doyle's shop and egg office in Market Hill from 1958 to 1967. She made lifelong friends here, which she regularly met up with until her recent illness. It was in February of 1967 that she met Daddy, William Waddell, known to all as Don, at a social in Ahoree. They got engaged soon after and married that same year, on the 5th of October 1967 in Clare Presbyterian Church. Dad always said he missed out her birthday in January and Christmas presents, but gave her an engagement ring and wedding ring in October. She moved to Esky Meadow Road in Keady and became a helpmeet to Dad on her family farm. They were blessed with three children, Derek, Carol, and Ruth. Family life on the farm was happy, but at times the work was tough. Mum worked alongside Dad, helping with the milking of cows, the rearing of calves, and rearing piglets. In later years, she did some care work, which she loved. She had a great gift for home baking and gardening too. Her own mother was Granny Elsie, came to live with us a short time before she died on the 9th of February 1993. Ruth married Leslie Crean on the 29th of December 2004, and Hannah and Bethany were her only two grandchildren, her delight and joy. Derek married Priscilla Robb on the 12th of September 2012. Heartbreakingly, Dad was diagnosed with cancer of the esophagus on the 2nd of December 2011. And on the 2nd of January 2012, 1 month later, he died. This came as a huge shock to our family. Uncle Billy's, Mum's only brother, was next. And he was diagnosed with lung cancer and he died on the 31st of January 2015. Recently, Carol showed great love and compassion to Mum. She helped her in the home. And when she was fit to go, they enjoyed many days out and short breaks. Donegal was a favourite destination. In the last few months of Mum's life when illness struck, Carol lovingly cared for her day and night. Tragically, Mum herself was to be diagnosed with pancreatic cancer on the 27th of December 2018, the third close family member to be given the bad news. We thank God for our hard-working mother. She was kind-hearted, a true, loyal friend to many here today. She was compassionate and loving. Her loss to us is heaven's gain, till we meet again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. 1 Samuel 20, verse 18, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. Amen. We thank the family for that very personal and loving tribute to their mother. And we can certainly testify over the years of great love and affection shown by the family to their mother and great respect to her in her life. And no doubt there's many, many precious memories to them today of their loving mother who's passed away on to glory. I just want to read two verses of Scripture with you this afternoon from the book of the Revelation, the final book of the Bible, Revelation chapter number 14, and it's the verse number 12 and the verse number 13. These are the two verses I want to read and just leave some remarks with you today. It says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From thenceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. We'll just bow together in a brief word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy presence with us already in this service of thanksgiving this afternoon. We do give thee thanks for every remembrance of our sister, Margaret. We thank thee, O God, for saving her. We thank thee for keeping her and for blessing her and for using her for thine honor and for thy glory. And we do acknowledge the sovereignty of God and that thou hast called her home to glory. We think of the family today, especially, Lord, who are heartbroken, the loss of a mother, a grandmother, a loved one. We pray, O God, for them especially today and in the days that lie ahead, that thou will give them grace and strength and help, we pray. Undertake, Lord, for Derek and Priscilla and for Carol and for Ruth and Leslie and Bethany and Hannah and all the wider family circle. Hold them and strengthen them, we pray. And fill the vacant chair with the presence of the Lord. And we pray, Lord, that in the days that lie ahead, they will know great grace and great strength. And that even through the home calling of Margaret, we pray that others too who knew her, loved her, and who were acquainted with her, might be drawn also to put their faith and trust in the Lord for salvation. Just bless us now as we come to thy precious word. We pray that even in a circumstance, in a service like this, that every one of us, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, will hear the voice of the Lord. Speak through your word, for we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen. Now, the writer in this chapter here, in Revelation chapter 14, is the Apostle John. And in verse 13, he tells us there of the Lord speaking to him. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord speaks to a person. And when the Lord speaks to us, we should always take heed to his voice. John tells us here what the Lord actually spoke to him. In verse 13, he says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. It was the Lord himself who was speaking. And as the Lord here is speaking to John, he is also speaking to us through his word this afternoon. And it's important that we listen and heed what the Lord would have to say to us, especially at a time like this, a time of sorrow and loss and grief and mourning. And in this verse, there are three simple truths I just believe the Lord would have us to consider. As we would consider these truths, my prayer is that every aching heart, especially today, that you will be comforted and strengthened from the word of the Lord. But also, should there be one here this afternoon and you're still not saved, I pray that through God's word you will be challenged today. Not only challenged about your need of salvation, but even through the word of God being applied by God the Holy Spirit to your heart. That even today, not only would you be challenged about your need of salvation, but this very day, this funeral service, that you would come and you would trust the Lord for your salvation. First of all, we see here in this verse a reality to be faced. It says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. And the reality that we're faced with here is the reality of death. And dear people, today, should the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ tarry, death is a reality that we all must face and that we all must deal with. It has been said that one out of one dies. Oftentimes you hear people describing this world and they will say it is the land of the living. Well, that is not really true. In fact, it is the land of the dying, because death is something we all must face. It is something we all must come to terms with. And my death is certain. It is unavoidable. It is inescapable. The Word of God declares that it is appointed unto man once to die. And my, whenever death comes, our soul departs the body of clay. And our soul goes out into God's eternity. And God's eternity consists either of heaven or hell, one or the other. And hell is that place of eternal punishment and judgment for sin. And heaven is that place of everlasting life, of eternal blessing, of being with Christ. The Word of God says, and the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Also at death, our bodies are led into the grave to await God's great day of resurrection, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ returns again in power and in great glory. And on that day, the Bible makes it very clear that the saved, their bodies will be resurrected unto everlasting life and being reunited with their soul in glory. But the bodies of the unsaved also will be resurrected unto eternal judgment. The Bible says, and they shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. My, yes, death is certain, but we can also say today that death is the result of Adam's fall into sin in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. And this is why you and I are born into this world to die. And my, the source of this funeral service ultimately can be traced right back to the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. It is certain, it is unavoidable, it is a result of man's fall into sin in the Garden of Eden. But we can also say today that death is universal. Death is something that affects us all. Why? Because we all have sinned in the sight of God. The Word of God says, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, for there is none righteous and no, not one. Indeed, the Bible declares, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And why, we can say today that death is the great common denominator of all society. It affects the rich in society, it affects the poor. Whatever our color is, whatever our creed is, whatever our class and society is, it affects every one of us. It affects every home, every family, every household. In history and past, yes, there has been mighty men, powerful men, men of great political power, men of great military power, and they have conquered large parts of the world, and in their time there were a great force for power. But in the end, death was to conquer them. Death was to take the very life from their body. Because death is no respecter of persons. And then we can also say this afternoon that the moment of our death is fixed by God. Listen to the words of Job as he speaks to God about man upon this world. In Job chapter 14 and the verse number 5, he speaks of man. And he says, his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. And neither is a time in God's calendar when you and I will be called away from this world, when you and I will be called away from this scene of time. This is something that we cannot avoid. This is something that we cannot stop. The Bible says we must needs die. On Tuesday morning, Margaret was called away from this world and from the scene of time. But then we can also say today that death can come very suddenly, very swiftly. You don't need me to emphasize that. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Death can strike at any moment. The hymn writer says, "Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf." Dear friends, this afternoon, this is why God wants you and I to consider the reality of death. This is something we are to think about. Something God would have you and I to consider, especially at a funeral service like this. Not only to think about it, not only to consider the reality, but also to prepare for it. To prepare for that time when you and I will be called away from this world and from this scene of time, when our seat will be empty. We will be taken out into eternity. Yes, we see here a reality to be faced. But notice something else here from this verse. We see a comfort to be enjoyed. For it says here, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." I want you to think about that word blessed. That word blessed literally means happy. And it refers to the happiness and indeed the blessing of heaven. It refers to that. And my heaven is the complete opposite of all that we have experienced and all that we experience in this world and in the scene of time. And the Word of God speaks to you and I about heaven. The Word of God gives you and I many pictures of heaven and of what heaven will be like. And one of those is found in Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. And this is what it says to us there about heaven. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And at the end of that same chapter it says of heaven, And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." And what a place heaven is. Heaven is a real place. Place of eternal happiness and joy. Place of everlasting life. A place where there is no sin. There's sin in this world, but there's no sin in heaven. It's a place where Satan will never be. It is a place where there is no sorrow. There are no wars in heaven. There is no strife in heaven. There is no sickness in heaven. All the griefs of this world are absent. You see, the curse of sin that affects this world is absent from heaven. It will never be known in heaven. That is why in our verse here today in Revelation 14 and verse number 13, the Lord speaks of those in heaven as resting from their labors. It says there, the Lord says, they shall rest from their labors. And heaven is a place of everlasting rest, eternal rest. The hymn writer says, "We speak of the land of the blessed, that country so bright and so fair. And oft are its glories confessed, but what must it be to be there?" Have you ever thought about that? What must it be to be there, to be in heaven? Our sister Margaret has entered into the glory of heaven. What a wonderful place heaven is. What must it be to be there? Is there a desire in your heart as you sit in this service today to be in heaven one day? And that leads you and I to the all-important question for you and I to consider today. And the question is this: how can you and I get to heaven? How can you and I be sure of heaven? Well, our text gives us the answer here. In Revelation 14, verse 13, it gives you the answer. We will be in heaven, as it says in the verse, if we die in the Lord. That's the way to heaven, to die in the Lord. The person who dies in the Lord will be sure of heaven. What does it mean to die in the Lord? The person who dies in the Lord is one who before God has recognized their need as a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner before Almighty God. And with that realization, there's been a time in their life when they've come before the Lord as a repentant sinner and have confessed their sin to the Lord, and they've come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing their sin to Him. And with that confession, they have trusted in the Lord Jesus. Their trust is in the Lord Jesus and in His sacrifice alone upon the cross of Calvary, upon the blood that He shed upon the cross of Calvary to wash away their sins and to save their soul and to fit them for heaven. That's what it means for a man, for a woman, for a young person to die in the Lord. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ Himself was speaking about when He said to Thomas of old, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." This is what the Apostle Paul was speaking about when he said to the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." This is what the Apostle Peter was speaking about when he says, "For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ." My, this is what John the Apostle was speaking about when he said, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." This is what the hymn writer was speaking about when they said, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Friends, this afternoon, pardon for sin, peace with God, our Maker and our Creator, the assurance of a home in heaven and God's presence in our life, these are the blessings of God's so great salvation. But let me make it very clear, these blessings of salvation, they are not found in ourselves. They are not found in man or man's device or creed. They're not found in any ordinances of a church, be it this church or any other church. The blessings of salvation are not found in money or good works and being good to our neighbor. And there's a place for that in our lives. The Bible makes it very clear that salvation from our sins and a home in God's heaven is obtained by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, the Son of God, who died upon the cross for our sins, who rose again victorious the third day. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." I thank God that Margaret died in the Lord. John Wesley, speaking of the believer in Christ, said, "Our people die well. The believer, the child of God, dies well." Friend, here this afternoon, as you've come here to pay your respects to Margaret and to the family, to show your support, let me ask you today, if this was your funeral service, let me ask, would you die in the Lord? Would it be said of you that you've died in the Lord? Would it be the tragedy that you would die out of the Lord, outside of Christ, without God? My friend, this afternoon, to die in the Lord, for you to gain heaven, you must be saved. As the Bible says, you must be born again of God the Holy Ghost. Yes, the comfort here to be enjoyed, the reality to be faced. But notice, finally here from this verse this afternoon, there's a warning here to be heeded. It says, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." And you'll see there just very plainly and simply, there's only blessing in death for those who die in the Lord. Why, there is no blessing in death for those who die unsaved, who die out of Christ. It is not well with them. It is not well for them. You see, the Word of God makes it very clear that for such a death, they're lost and hell forever. And they suffer eternal punishment and judgment upon them for their sins in this life. The Word of God makes that very clear. Listen to what the Bible says in Revelation 20, verse 15. It says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That is those who do not die in the Lord. Again, it speaks of those in hell, and it says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." That speaks of the unrepentant sinner, of those who, because of the fear of man, will not trust Christ as Savior, those who will not put their faith and trust in Christ as their Redeemer. What an awful end, what an awful way to die, to leave this world outside of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ warns you of that awful reality. Luke 16, when he speaks about a certain rich man, he says, "The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments." Dear friends, this afternoon I must be faithful to your heart and to your soul. This is the awful end that awaits you, no matter who you are in this gathering. If you should die unsaved, if you should die and leave this world out of Christ, no matter who you are, no matter what your background is, the hymn writer says, "Out of Christ, without a Savior, lonely and dark the way, with no light, no hope in Jesus, making bright the cheerless day." What an awful way to leave this world in the darkness of your sin and go out into everlasting darkness, outer darkness, the place which the Bible calls hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. But friend, this afternoon, this need not be so. For today is the day of grace, the day of God's opportunity. The Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And if now in time you recognize your need as a lost sinner before God, come in faith and in repentance of your sin unto the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in Him. Rest in His sacrifice alone for your salvation. You shall be saved. That's the gospel. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That word, "whosoever," who does it mean? It takes in all who have and all who will trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And mind, the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord gives you a wonderful invitation to come unto him and to trust him. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I would say to you today, no matter who you are, unsaved in this gathering, come today by faith to Christ. Confess your sins to him. Trust in him alone for salvation, for the forgiveness of all of your sins, for the salvation of your soul, for peace with God, and for the blessed assurance of a home in heaven, knowing God's abundant life and everlasting life and glory itself through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Redeemer. The hymn writer says, "I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he hath made me glad." Many years ago, back in 1959, Margaret came to the Lord Jesus just as she was, as a sinner, to Christ, resting upon him alone for salvation. Friend, if you're still not saved, I urge you today to do the same. follow her example in coming to Christ. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And then you'll be ready today. Then you'll be ready to leave this world. And my, when that call comes, you'll die in the Lord. You'll enter into the everlasting blessing, the everlasting glory of heaven, of being with Christ, which is far better. May God bless his word today to every heart. If you're not saved today, our prayer burden is that this day you will come. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing more important, and that you'll taste and see that the Lord is good. We'll hand back now to the Reverend Baxter.
Thank you very much indeed, and may God truly bless his truth, because that's what you've just heard today, his truth. We'll sing the final hymn, the well-known and greatly loved, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear. What a Privilege to Carry Everything to God in Prayer." And after the service, the benediction is pronounced, you can make your way round to the hall, just be going out the door and going left, and just follow the trail, and you'll end up in the church hall. And you can greet the family there if you so desire, but please remember the refreshments provided. What a Friend. We'll stand together as we sing. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for this note of triumph in the midst of sorrow and grief. We thank thee for the victory that there is in Jesus Christ. And when we know him, love him, when death claims us, we go to be with him. Bless this family that mourn today. Lord, unite this congregation in Christ. If there be any unconverted, unsaved, speak to their hearts. Bring them to Jesus. Do abide with us now as we go into the church hall. We thank thee for the good things provided for us. We pray you'll bless them to our bodily use. You'll abide with us, Lord. Then take us to our homes in safety. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.